Hello and welcome to the Property Roundup here on iProperty Radio with myself, Carol Tallon, the show where we chat to industry experts to get a view on activity on the ground and to learn about new trends emerging. This show is sponsored by daft.ie, Ireland's most visited property website. Today, I'm delighted to be joined by returning guest Liz O'Kane, Ireland's original buyer's agent and winner of the National Property Awards Buyer's Agent of the Year 2024. Congratulations, Liz. You're very welcome.
I got a gong, Carol. I'm and so happy.
It was a hefty one. They are seriously impressive awards.
I cannot begin to tell you. Number one, the award is beautiful. I'm sitting looking at it here. It's sitting over on my side table there beside the fire. And it looks great. And I am really proud to win the inaugural award. I really am. As I said to Ivan Yates on the night, it's only taken 22 years to get here, Ivan. I think I deserve this. And that's being in and out of business. So I'm really happy. And thank you very much to you and the judging panel, because it really genuinely means a huge amount to me. I was very emotional about it.
Oh, well, Liz, absolute congratulations. And again, you touched on it there. It was the inaugural Buyer's Agency Award, and actually it's the only Buyer's Agency Award for the industry in Ireland. So this was a really big moment, because Buyer's Agency has been on the radar for about 20 years, but maybe it hasn't been fully used in Ireland, to any great extent. And there are so many reasons for this. But actually, we can see in recent years, particularly in recent years, where there's such a shortage of available properties, a lot of, you know, it's funny, we're at a time when there's more data around the market and maybe some more contradictory data. There's some confusion. And so the power of knowing your local market and being guided through the process has really been beneficial to help buyers get over the line. So for us, it was a really big thing to have the category there for the first time in the awards. But the big surprise to the judges was the number of entries, but also the quality of entries. So I think even we had underestimated how much buyer's agency is actually happening in Ireland. What's your own experience as you travel around the country?
Well, listen, there's a couple of comments there. And thank you for pointing out that I travel around the country. I travel from Donegal to Kenmare to Waterford. Done very little business in Galway, I have to say, in your neck of the woods. Not a lot, some, but not a huge amount. And my own experience is that I don't meet any other buyer's agents, generally speaking, on my travels. I speak to all of the sales agents every day of the week, all day, every day, trying to glean information and to find out what's properties that maybe that are not on the market that I might need to know about, or nuggets, little golden nuggets of information that, you know, the average buyer won't ask an estate agent or a sales agent first off, and also doesn't have the time to get somebody to be searching for them or to be doing this themselves. Sorry, I rephrased that. I said that incorrectly, but doesn't have the time to make very long phone calls and to gather, you know, in-depth information within the property market. But one of the questions that I constantly ask my sales agents is, who else are you talking to? Who else is out there on the street? Who else are you meeting in terms of buyers? And it doesn't seem to be as active as I would like it to be, to be frank. I'm in business and out of business, Carol, 22 years. So I've lost business. I've emigrated, as you know, during our last credit crunch. Back I came, reignited the business again, then became employed as a buyer's agent within a sales agency, and realized I wasn't the best employee going and that I needed to pull the trigger and go myself again, which I did. And thankfully, things have really grown from strength to strength. There is absolutely a need for purchasers to be represented and to be properly represented. And sales agents, I can see it when they hear me. I can see it in them and I can hear it in their voices. They're very welcoming and you know, willing and wanting to deal with a buyer's agent, because it makes a conversation very swift, very businesslike, very efficient. Mm-hmm. And you either get to the end game quickly, or as most buyers tend to do, because they're not seasoned, because purchasing property is not a transaction that happens very often, they tend to slow the whole process down and allow other competitors to come to the table. So three agents in the last 2 days, and today's only Tuesday, have said to me, love dealing with you, because it's just so straightforward.
Yeah.
It's so straightforward. And you're removing the anxiety from your purchaser. They could be sitting in Malahide. They could be sitting in Montenegro. They could be sitting anywhere. And they're just safe in the knowledge that you're working away in the background.
Yeah.
But again, there's not enough buyer's agent representation yet.
Yeah, no, listen, I completely agree with you. And I think that even people who have not been your clients will be some bit familiar with how you operate due to your TV show on Virgin Media last year. And I think there was such we always track kind of the social media stats, the feedback from the marketplace. Yeah. And it was overwhelmingly positive. It was overwhelming. You could see that actually, you know, you talk about the need for buyers to be represented, and it just makes so much sense. You know, in a transaction that is so infrequent, there are no very experienced buyers and sellers this for themselves. Even if you've done it a few times, that's still not a huge amount of experience in the grand scheme of things. And yet we see sellers who are a little more experienced being well represented by estate agents. So actually there's a huge need for buyers, whether they're first time buyers or those trading up, there's a need for them to get that independent, objective advice. But also, so I know you had stressed maybe about the time saving element and taking the stress away, but I actually think the on the ground market knowledge is what's really invaluable. You touched on it there, you know, maybe off market sales. The reality is you're speaking to estate agents all around the country every day. You're building a relationship with them. Does that put you first in mind when they have a property coming to the market in the future, or maybe one that can't be marketed for any particular reason?
All of the time. All of the time. In fact, I have two emails this morning that I haven't clicked on yet because I was sitting down to make my cup of coffee and chat with you with two off-market properties, just in case. And my line to sales agents all the time is like, just keep me in the middle of your brain. Mm-hmm. Just keep me in there, because you just never know who's coming to the table. And anything that you have that you're struggling to sell, and or a sale that has fallen through for whatever reason, talk to me first before you go back into your marketing campaign again. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I can get a deal over the line. Sometimes I can't. Sometimes you can match somebody. Sometimes you can't. But I would suggest that, yes, I would like to think that I am very much a go-to person. And that's also, it's another strand to a sales agent's bow to say to a vendor or a family, now listen, we want to talk to Liz O'Kane, the buyer's agent, first. Do we have your permission to do that? Mm-hmm. She might have somebody to match this property. Other than that, we're going to go back to our marketing campaign.
Yeah.
Well,
look, actually, there's a whole other section there on the power of personal profile. And you've been brand building yourself personally for over two decades. So you're probably one of the best known and most trusted brands in this space as well. But I want to ask you about something. There's a perception there that only wealthy buyers or affluent buyers are in a position to use a buyer's agent. Is that the reality in today's market?
Stop. And that perception also applies to me. I hear it all the time. Carol, I have clients on my books right now. I have first-time buyers with between 3 and 500,000 euro to spend. They are hardworking young professionals. They're working 12 to 14 hours a day. They're all first-time buyers, and they will all pay another professional to do a job for them. Mm-hmm. I have that cohort. And then I have a cohort of overseas purchasers who are very high net worth individuals who in exactly the same manner will outsource to experts, and there's everybody else in between. And the in-betweens are probably people who've been unsuccessful in the marketplace because they're not being strategic about how they bid or potentially research and view. Mm-hmm. but more importantly on the bidding side. And sometimes you just need to have that conversation and mold them in a slightly different way to get them to change the goalposts just a little bit, just a little bit. And you will be really, really surprised what moving the goalposts a couple of kilometers can do. And suddenly you're off on a different journey rather than sticking the pin. It always worries me when I'm on Zoom with people and they say, we want to live in, and they stick the pin in the map and that's it. Yeah. And I just go, and that's it. Okay. So in your bracket, there's one property for sale in that location. Let's just be a little bit more pliable and a little bit more flexible.
Yeah. Liz, how much of this required the tough love approach? Because I have personally and professionally known you for 2 decades and I've been on the receiving end of your tough love. You're a very straight talker, which I appreciate most of the time. But, you know, for buyers, are they primed? Are they ready by the time they sit down with you? Are they ready to be told the realities of the marketplace?
I think they are. Yes, I really think they are. Look, you either have somebody who's living 10,000 miles away somewhere in another country and they physically can't do it for themselves. So you've got that. So you've got that type of a buyer. And in fact, a lot of sales agents will refer me to an overseas purchaser who's looked at something online and they go, look, we know that you're interested in this property, but you're making us nervous because you're in Los Angeles. You need somebody to represent you here. And that would be partially one way of overseas business coming my way. So then you have a sales agent who's referring a buyer's agent who they know will come and give that potential client a really solid, informed and honest view in a property. Might not go the sales agent way.
Yeah,
I might say, listen, lads, you're out of your minds. We're not buying this house because of this, this, this and this. However, back to that other cohort of clientele, most people have either been burnt, they've been hurt, they've lost in our not pretty bidding process. It's not a pretty process. Mm-hmm. You need to have a jockey's brass neck to get out there and go into the market in a very competitive bidding market. I have that brass neck and I'm not emotionally embroiled. It's not my money. It's not my money. Now, clearly, you know, I'm dealing with somebody else's money, but I'm dealing with somebody else's money in a very, very strategic manner. And I'm also saying to them, look, this is actually still on value. And sometimes you just need to push a little bit further to get us over the line.
Yeah.
But I'm also asking questions of the sale. I'm also getting a sense from my underbidder. It is like playing a game of poker.
Yeah, and no, I can see that. And I think actually, you know, you talk about the brass neck, but actually I think one of the most powerful parts is actually removing the emotion out of it. Because I know, having seen buyers in an auction room situation, both virtual and in person, it's very difficult, even the most prepared person, when you're talking about your future home, what ideals you've almost transferred to that future home. You've almost imagined yourself living a life there. It's very difficult to take the emotion out of it, and not to get carried away in bidding or just to lose sight of the strategic element of it. And I think that's where the independence comes from. I'm really interested to hear, though, that that you have received referrals from estate agents and sales agents, because I think that's really smart on their behalf. But I suppose I remember a time within the last 2 decades where estate agents were very nervous about buyer's agents coming into the market and thought in some way they'd be eating their lunch. And it was never the case.
No,
but there was that perception a little bit.
Pardon?
There was that perception a little bit, and there was that little bit of fear from the estate agents.
See, I think the perception was, who's this one and what is she doing?
Yeah.
Like, let's just call a spade here. Like, what is this one at? She's going around representing buyers. What is she doing? Whereas the sales agent is 100% representing the purchaser and needs to extract funds out of buyers in order to achieve that sale. So I have many, many clients of mine who come, they say, oh, such and such an estate agent is such a lovely person. They're so nice. I got all this information. And I'm going, yes, they are lovely. They want your money.
Well, also they work for the seller, you know,
and
I think
they want your money, and they're representing the seller. They're not representing you, but of course they're lovely because they want you to bid on this property. But and you know, that's the natural sales process. And I also think then vendors themselves probably went, why does the buyer have a representative? And it has taken a long time before that comfort and confidence to follow through that this is actually a good idea, you know?
And but actually, one of the things that you talk about kind of the comfort levels that would come, but actually, I think estate agents have always tried, because, you know, to me, it's very clear they work for the seller, they're paid by the seller. However, they have a lot of face time with buyers. And so they get caught up. And I think there is a very genuine desire on the behalf of estate agents to want to help buyers. But the reality is they have been quite conflicted in the past. And in fact, I've often pulled up estate agents for saying we have a buyer. It's like, no, or we have a client, when they mean a buyer. It's like, no, the seller is your buyer. You have a buyer who's interested, but the seller's always the estate agent's client. And I think that by bringing and introducing a buyer's agent into the transaction, it allows estate agents to own the position of representing the seller only. That doesn't mean you're not providing a high level of service when you introduce buyers into the home. That's part of working for the seller.
But you and know,
everybody,
equally, it gives
everybody
the
knows.
The sales agent and the vendor, and take it as two completely separate entities. And something actually I'd just like to mention in a moment about the buyer's agent's position in the United States, which has been their position, which has been a well-established position for yonks, for a very, very long time. But just to go back for a moment, if somebody retains a buyer's agent to act for them, the sales agent and the seller know that they have a very solid purchaser. They know that they have somebody who has employed somebody else to source and negotiate this property for them. That's confidence, first of all. They also know that the buyer's agent has proof of sight of funds. Mm-hmm. At least they should have. Proof of sight of funds, and can proceed in the bidding process to a sale agreed conclusion. So you've got great confidence on one side, and you have sellers on the other side who are very comfortable to let a buyer's agent into a property to inspect on behalf of the seller. And if it comes to the end game and there's potentially a stalemate, not all of the time, but it is very likely that a sales agent will recommend a buyer who is being represented by a buyer's agent for all the reasons I've just laid out.
And that makes sense. You know, in terms of negotiations, I think that sometimes sellers aren't aware that estate agents don't just look at the best price. It's about the best offer that's coming in. An offer is price plus position of the buyer, that they're not in a chain, that everything is verified. And I think that maybe best offer and highest offer have sometimes been confused to the detriment by buyers. And actually, it's good for them to understand that it goes beyond price, that actually it is about positioning.
It does go
sense.
Beyond price, and it's not necessarily the best price that buys a property in the end. It could be a matched price.
It could be a price that
having sat down and analyzed your buyers, you might say, God almighty, the couple or party who are with the buyer's agent are really putting forward a stronger representation and presentation.
Oh, well, look, we've always
followed
said,
through.
It's the
but look,
same principle.
There's lots of machinations.
It's the same principle as cash buyers generally being in a better position than mortgage buyers, just purely because their ability to move fast. And that's not the buyer's fault. That's our system's fault. I think in Ireland, we have an incredibly poor property transaction system.
It's shocking.
And all opportunities and all prop tech, everything that we've tried to do in the past two decades had been very resisted, really. So we've missed a lot of opportunities to make our process much better. I'm conscious of your time, Liz. And I'm no doubt you're going to be traveling all over the country again this week, as you generally are. But just I want to touch on one point there. You mentioned earlier, and I think it was very gracious of you to point out that actually, while you are objectively leading the field in buyer's agency in Ireland. You now have the award from your peers, so we can objectively say you are the best buyer's agency in Ireland. Well, that's not me, that's your peers speaking. But you touched on a very important point, which is you need more competition in the market. You need for there to be buyer's agents. Buyers need for there to be more buyer's agents. And the property market needs for there to be more buyer's agency around Ireland. Why do you think that hasn't happened?
God, Carol, that's a very convoluted question. I don't think there's enough education around it, first of all. And I have tried to speak about this in the past. I think that might be very slowly changing. And even if I just say to you, in terms of my award, 22 years and counting, like it's taken 22 years to get to here, to today, right? And I think that in property economics, I think that in real estate and auctioneering, in TUD, Dublin, and all of the other higher educations where they're teaching real estate and auctioneering, I think there should be a module on buyer's agency. I felt that for a number of years, that there's kids who are going to college. It might be touched on. They certainly have no idea how to go about representing a client. And or there isn't enough buyer's agents out there for them to do apprenticeships with or little internships with. There's that. We have a very traditional sales agency model, and despite some of the greater agencies now having very international branded names alongside them, nobody is disrupting the market in any way. Nobody's disrupting the market. I think I probably was a disruptor, but I didn't know I was a disruptor at the time. Yeah. I had no idea. I just know that I thought this was a good idea.
I love that you touched on the need for a buyer's agency module for apprentices. And in fact, it is something that we discussed, and we actually spoke to Kevin Hassett, the apprentice, who came through the apprenticeship scheme. He's actually an agent with I Am Sold in Galway, and Patrick Folan there is chair of the steering committee. They're actually guiding the apprentice training for property. And we know it's something that's badly needed, but tell me, Liz, would you take on an apprentice?
I've been asked. God, Carol, you're putting me on the spot now, aren't you?
Well, hold on a second.
I would lecture. I would like to lecture.
Okay.
I would like to lecture on this area of the business. I would like to do that. Now, whether I want to take on an apprentice or not is something that I would have to think seriously hard about. Because my business, as you know, is my name, and that is my brand. And therefore, my clients are coming to me, they're kind of going, I don't really want the apprentice, I want her. Okay, so there's a little bit of that. There's a little bit of that. And also, it's very much about my business model, which I have been advised to change, and I have never changed. My model remains exactly the same as it has done for 20 years, albeit a couple of services have changed and grown. But the model in terms of the financial model remains the same. And I would be nervous. I would be talking to you now. I'd be a little bit nervous about giving that model away. Never say never.
Liz, I could just see a Virgin Media show actually on the hunt for Liz O'Kane's apprentice. I would love to see the people that would come through. I would love to see.
That's funny.
I would love to see you put them through your paces, because you talk about people who challenge you around your business model over the past two decades. And I know I can hold my hand up to that. And you're right. You've resisted everything in the past. And we can agree to disagree. But
I have resisted.
I have really resisted.
And nothing has changed. I honestly believe in business as well, Carol. I really do. Keep it simple. I'm not interested in tech particularly, and with all respect to you, because you are hugely embroiled in the tech world, and I'm not that interested in tech, and that brings me back to the core of my business and what you said at the top. This is about relationships.
Yeah,
this is about relationships. This is about face to face. You're either hiring me because you want to listen and take the advice, and if you don't want to, that's absolutely cool. There's somebody else sitting down the other rung of the ladder that needs me. So
Liz O'Kane, you have been keeping me sharp for more than two decades. I don't know why I expected any less of you today. Listen, thank you so much.
Carol.
Congratulations on your win. It's a huge achievement. And thank you so much for taking the time to do this today. And I am so delighted that this show is going out on International Women's Day, because actually, this is an industry that in the past was quite poorly represented. And it's interesting, as I get older in the industry, I'm seeing women. So actually, we had seen the growth of women across property and construction. But actually, as I get older, I realize my peers are dropping off. So maybe they were just more sensible and they're able to retire early. I think you, like I, will never retire. But
not able.
But it's something that I think that
I love my work. By the way, when I say not able, what I mean by that is actually, and there's another reason for not taking on an apprentice. I'm just not ready for a young one to come and take over me. Jump into my boots just yet.
I'll ask you again next year, Liz. But genuinely, I think actually buyer's agency is a really exciting opportunity for men or women coming into the industry. So it's definitely something we'd love to see evolve.
We need to continue this conversation. I know we're both under pressure, but the whole buyer's agency absolutely needs to be continued, and we need a new form of education for those in third level around it as well.
Well, I heard somebody on this show volunteer as a lecturer, so we'll wait and see how that pans out.
Liz, check out the word volunteer.
Paid volunteer.
Bye.
Liz, thank you so much. That was Liz O'Kane, Ireland's original buyer's agent winner of the inaugural Buyer's Agent of the Year Award at the National Property Awards 2024. You're very welcome. My thanks as always to producer Katie Tallon and to the production team at Hear Me Roar Media. Also thanks to our show sponsor, daft.ie, Ireland's most visited property website. Thank you indeed for tuning in. We'll catch you on the next episode of the Property Roundup. In the meantime, please be sure to check out all of the other Irish and international real estate and construction shows here on iPropertyRadio.com.